Great Northern Railway presents Empire Builders.
Begun spinning yarns over the radio.
I remember the first story you told, old-timer. I'll bet you've forgotten it.
No, I bet I ain't. That was about James J. Hill. Let's see. There was something about stars in it. Now, I wonder just how much of it I could remember.
Tell it to us again, old-timer, won't you? Oh, please do, old-timer.
Well, now let's see. Now, we'll just sit here and look up at the stars. And maybe it'll all come back to me. By, they're big and bright, ain't they?
Yes, they are.
You know, some of them have names, I guess. Named after the men they belong to. Stars of destiny. If that's so, there must be one star named Jim Hill. James J. Hill he was in the newspapers. But plain Jim Hill to us who work for him. Jim Hill did more than just build the Great Northern Railway. He found the wilderness, and he left an empire. I must tell you about Jim. He was born in a log cabin up near Rockwood in Lower Ontario back in 1838. Now, up till he was 11 or thereabouts, Jim didn't get much of a break. But then his star took hold. Jim met the man that woke him up. Now, that was Now, what in time was that fellow's name? Oh, now I got it. William Wetherill, that's who it was. Now, Wetherill was an Englishman, a Quaker, a gentleman, and a scholar. He started the Rockwood Academy, and Jim went there for nearly 4 years. And believe me, he worked. He played some, too, of course. Say, that boy could shoot the whiskers off a bear. And say, when it comes to fishing, he knew every trout in the brook by its first name. Why, Jim used to have to beat him off with his pole. Yes, it was William Wetherill who taught Jim Hill to think. And then when he was 14, Jim's father died, and things were different. His mother wanted him to stay on at school, but Jim figured he knew best, and that it was time to get busy. So the day come when Jim left school. He waited till the rest of the boys and girls had left. And then he went to Wetherill's door and knocked.
Come in.
Wetherill, I speak to you, man.
Unless thee has lost thy tongue, Jim, he can speak.
Well, may I speak to you?
Please, may, my boy. What is it?
You know, sir, father's gone now. And
yes?
And I'm the oldest boy anyhow.
Yes, James. He is 14.
Yes, sir, 14. And it's time I got to work.
He is 14, and I work you good. Do not be in haste, James. Knowledge is power.
Yes, sir, I know, but what we need is money right away.
The cup is gross. And must hunt for himself. He must do thy duty as he sees it, James, now and always.
Thank you, sir. I hope you feel that way.
Please welcome, Jane. Go with my blessing. But before thee goes, tell me, what dost thee take with thee from my teaching?
I don't know, sir. Oh, yes, I do. Napoleon.
Napoleon, that man abroad.
Oh, but think what Napoleon did, sir. He wasn't anybody at all to begin with, and he ended up by being an emperor.
He ended up by being food for worms. An emperor without an empire.
But Mr. Weatherall, he did more than that. He led men, thousands of men, and they were glad to die for him. He beat all of Europe, and if they'd let him alone, he'd have made it into one great empire. Don't you remember, Mr. Weatherall, the bridge at Arcola, where he charged the Austrians? An empire, and he would.
James, he doth not know what, and I pray thee never may. Set not thy face in that direction, for he that liveth by the sword shall perish by the sword. So it was with Napoleon. He sees the empty glory of one man, but there are millions who see only the sorrow. Go thy way, James, and live in peace.
Well, maybe you're right, sir. Anyhow, it wasn't just the battles that made Napoleon great. It was his star. He conquered an empire.
Dave, come here. I will tell thee something, and I want thee always to remember. It is a far, far finer thing to build an empire than it is to conquer one. We will remember.
Yes, sir, I'll remember. It's a better thing to build an empire than to conquer one. Yes, sir. I'll remember that. And thank you. I'm going on, Mr. Weatherall. Bye.
Goodbye, James. Do not forget thy reading in the evening. And come and see me. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir. I'll come.
Jim, he left his school and his schoolmaster, and he began to hustle. Not in Lockwood, though. There wasn't enough chance there. So Jim's mother moved the whole tribe over to Guelph nearby. And Jim got a job clerking in the grocery store down by the railroad track. Well, he'd been working at the store about a month when he began to savvy that not all education is inside books. He used to pin back his ears and listen in to more than one debate over the Cracker Barrel. Now, this was in 52. That was the year when Sir Francis Hincks, the premier of Upper Canada, had shoved his country way into debt by guaranteeing the bonds of the new Grand Trunk Railway. Now, everybody was either hit in the pocket or afraid there was going to be. Feeling ran high among the Canadians. Jim listened.
Now, you fellas listen to me, and I'll learn you. There ain't no sense the government backing them railway bonds. If that cussed road can't stand on its own hind legs, why, well, they ought to let it be.
Oh, you old idiot. How can it stand on its own legs in this new country? There ain't enough people along the right of way to keep it going. You give us the railway and we'll populate Upper Canada.
But Mr. Smith, why couldn't a railroad pay its own way? Other businesses have to.
There. What did I tell you? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings.
Oh, you be still. Out of the mouths of perky youngsters that don't know any more than to argue with their betters. Jim Hill, boys your age ought to be seen and not heard. And as far as I'm concerned, they don't even have to be seen.
Don't you pay no attention to him, Jim. He's just a cantankerous old critter. And you fellas mind me. I ain't so sure that this railway thing is right. Don't say nothing in the Bible about railways. Man was intended to walk, in my opinion, and I ain't going to have my taxes raised just to support some newfangled conception.
I don't know anything about that, but you bet I'd like to travel.
Travel? What good are railways going to do us? We pay the taxes and the other folks ride. I don't ride. I ain't going nowhere.
Now, just once and for all, now you listen. Railways mean settlers, and settlers mean trade, and trade means money.
We've got some railways now, but I don't believe they make much. There isn't enough goods to ship.
Now, Jim, you keep out of this. I know we got some railways, but there ain't enough. And they don't go far enough. If they're going to mean anything, they got to head west. Now, you hear me? West. That's the coming country.
I'd like to go west someday.
Nah. You take my advice and sit right where you are, young man. Look at me. Have I ever been west? Have I ever been anywhere outside this township? No. And I am worth a day nigh on to $10,000 cash money.
Here comes your boss, Jim. Hey, McLean. Say, have you been listening to this? Now, what do you think, huh?
I think you're a lot of old fools. Blathering and blathering about things you know nothing of.
Yes, wait.
Railways and the like. Next thing you'll be teaching me how to keep store. And that's a lad alone. Maybe if I was younger, I'd go west myself. If only to get into a quieter atmosphere. Come now, you statesman. Time to close up top.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh.
Well, now, just what do you know about it?
Hey, I know what I think.
Oh, you do. Come on out here and there.
And there's not one amongst them that could run an off team without riding it off the bank, let alone a railroad. Jim, put up the starter.
Yes, sir.
Jim, just a minute. How long have you been with me?
Let's see. Why, it's just a month today.
So it is. 1 month today, huh? Yeah. And you are now about to draw your monthly salary. I have it here. You hay done the right wheel, James. And if you keep on, you'll make your way in the world. Here you are.
Thank you, Mr. McLean. I'm glad you're satisfied.
I'm satisfied. Put out the lights when you go, Jim. Good night.
Jumping Jerusalem, it's $4. I'll take this ride home and give it to Mother now. Bet she'll be surprised.
Well, $4 for a month's work is no fortune. But when it's the first money you've ever earned, it looks mighty big. And Jim never forgot that a railroad ought to pay its own way. Later on, when he built the Great Northern, he asked no favors and got none. But his road paid right from the start. Well, anyway, about the time that Jim was about 18 years old. His star thought it was time for him to move. Well, however it was, Jim took a notion into his head that he wanted to go out to India. And one night, after his brother and sister had gone to bed, he put it up to his mother. You know, Jim never beat around the bush much. He talked right out. Jim's mother was spinning yarn for stockings, and she hummed along with the whir of the wheel.
What is it, Jim?
Mom, I've been thinking. I can do better than I can here in Guelph.
Better than here in Guelph? Oh, I know you can, Jim. I've been thinking about it, too.
Well, I'd like to see something of the world. India, for instance.
India? Oh, India is a long way, Jim, and a costly journey.
Well, I figure I've got enough saved to get me to New York. And once I get there, I can hire on a ship that's bound for India and work my way.
Son, you're a man now. You're 18 years old, and you've been doing a man's work since you were 14. So I'm not going to stand in your way.
I'll miss you, Mother.
I'll miss you, too, Jim. Oh, but I'm not going to give you advice. You've always been a good boy, and I guess you'll stay that way. Only remember, Jim, the world's a pretty big place, and you've never been away before. You'll take care of yourself, won't you, Jim?
Yes, Mom. I'll do that. Don't you worry. I'll write home every chance I get. I don't know what's got into me, but somehow I've just got to go.
Yes, I know, Jim. Men are that way. They've always got to go. Well, you go along to India, Jim, and write me all about it.
Just as soon as I can, I'll either come back or send for you, Mom.
Oh, I know you will. Don't you worry. Your brother Alex is old enough to step into your shoes now. You go along. You've got enough warm underflannels, and you can have your father's old valise. I'll help you pack tomorrow.
There's a lot I want to say, Mom, but somehow I can't quite seem to say it very well. I guess you know what I mean.
I guess I do, Jim. Don't you worry. You run along to bed now and get some rest. You'll need it if you're going to start right out tomorrow. Come here and kiss me good night, son. Oh, my boy, my boy. God be good to you and bring you back. Good night, Jim.
Good night, Mom. If you ever need me, I'll know it. I'll come home. Good night.
Good night, Jim. Oh, God. Keep in protect my boy.
Got someplace, there's no particular sign that you're going to get there. Now, if Jim Hill had got to India, that would have been another story. But when he got to New York, Jim couldn't find the ship he wanted. So he started working his way west again. Finally, he got to St. Paul, just a little settlement on the Mississippi. Well, all Jim could do was to find a job. He settled down to grow up to the country. And when the country didn't grow fast enough to suit him, why, he just naturally yanked it right along after him. You know, St. Paul ate transportation, slept transportation, and dreamed transportation in those days. Say, that was neat to Jim. He'd sooner have that than his dinner. Now, just to show you what sort of a lad Jim was just about then, he was in his 20s. I want to tell you about the time he took it on himself to do a little piloting on the old Mississippi herself, one of the meanest streams to pilot in the world. Now, Jim's firm was running a steam packet up the river from Dubuque to St. Paul in return. And one night, Jim was on board when something happened. It was like this.
Captain Carter, no bottom it is. We'll get it before long, though.
I'm sure glad I was lucky enough to get you to pilot us through this trip, Mr. Thomas. The river is falling.
Oh, we're doing well enough, Captain. But the sandbars and the shoals are pretty thick around here, and they're shifting. I don't like that. Personally, I like to pilot in deep water.
So do I, sir. So do I. Oh, here comes Jim Hill. I'll say one thing for that young man. He's the best supercargo I ever had on this boat.
Yeah, I reckon. Hello, Mr. Hill.
Hello, Mr. Thomas. Thought I'd come up here to the pilot house and see how we're making it. The river's low and the shoals look bad.
Don't you worry about that, sir. That's my job.
I'm sure glad it is your job, too, Carson. Listen to them niggers on the lower deck.
Sextet of yours is sure good, Captain.
Yes, it's good, but it's darn noisy.
Captain Carter.
Oh, yes, Mr. Thomas.
Well, we've just passed Prescott on the right flank bank. Did you see the light?
Yes, I saw them. Whatever, sir.
Have you someone ready to take the wheel?
Take the wheel, sir? Take the wheel? Why, no one can take the wheel from you. You're the pilot.
Why, look here, Captain Carter. Didn't your owners instruct you that I am not an upper river pilot? But my license don't permit me to take the boat above Prescott.
Not take the boat above Prescott, sir? Good heavens. You can't abandon us in midstream.
Oh, I have no intention of leaving you stranded, sir. I'd expect that you'd have a substitute ready to take us from here to Minneapolis Landing. You know the river, Captain. It's low. The banks is shifted and it's full of snags. I can neither keep the wheel nor the responsibility. But I shall be very glad to give you what help I can.
Good Lord, man. What can I do? There's no other pilot aboard.
Oh, I suggest that you try up to the shore and send up to St. Paul for an upper river pilot.
Yes, I might do that, but this is bad business. We're due in Minneapolis tomorrow, and the delay will mean a big loss to my owners.
But just a minute, Captain Carter.
Oh, yes, Mr. Hill. You represent the owners. What do you suggest?
Why, that's just it, Captain. I'm responsible for any freight loss incurred. I can't authorize you to tie up overnight. We're due in Minneapolis Landing tomorrow, and we've got to get there.
Well, perhaps you can suggest how. Who'll take the wheel?
Well, I might.
But you're not a pilot.
Oh, yes, I know, sir, but what I suggest is this. I'll take the wheel and the responsibility. Mr. Thomas will stand near me and give what advice he can. He needn't take either the wheel or the blame. How about it, sir?
It's all right with me, Mr. Hill. You may get away with it. You understand that for the last 5 minutes, I've been liable to a stiff jail sentence for keeping the wheel this long. Take it off my hands, and I'll do the best to help.
All right, sir. Stand aside. There, I've got it.
Well, I hope it's no sacrilege to say it. But we're in your hands and God's, Mr. Hill.
Steady, Mr. Hill. Better call the lead.
All right.
Aboard, lead! Come on, men! Mouth free. Quarter lip free. Halfway.
Watch her now, Mr. Hill. I know this place. We're close on a mighty bad rock shoal. If we hit that shoal in the wrong place, we're lost. Turn, Mr. Hill. Cramp her now. Stop the labboard. Come ahead on it. Stop the starboard. Come ahead on it. Now, if you dare to do it, head her straight for the shoal.
Aye, aye. Headed she is, and take it she will.
Seven men! Seven men! Eight and a half. 8 feet. 10
engine room. Stand by now.
All right. 10 and a half. 7 feet. 6
engine
and a half.
Room. Now. Six. Let her have it. Give her every ounce you've got.
My God. Will she make it? Hill, she's over. She's past it.
Why, I sort of thought she'd go over. And now she's over, we'll go on to St. Paul.
And if you hit most things the way you went over that show, Mr. Hill, I reckon you'll go over them, too.
Jim Hill all over. If he couldn't get past the rock shoal, he'd jump the boat over. Matter of fact, he brought her into St. Paul the next day with about 30 timbers smashed and half full of water. But he stayed at the wheel until he had brought her in, and not a soul the worse for it. Someday later on, he took to railroading. Now, if he couldn't run his rails round the mountain, he bore a hole in the cutter thing and poked them through. Yes, Jim was quite a man. That star of his was a worker. See, there it is, twinkling up there in the sky, right where Jim left it. Well, Gert, it's time for me to go now, but I'll be back next week, though. Good night.
Good night, old-timer. We enjoyed it so much.
I've been listening to Empire Builders with Harvey Hayes as the old-timer, a presentation of the Great Northern Railway, the swift, clean, scenic route between Chicago and the Pacific Northwest. The Great Northern was built by James J. Hill, and it is in his honor that the Great Northern's crack train, the Empire Builder, is named. This aristocrat of transcontinental flyers makes the journey between Chicago and the Puget Sound cities and Portland over the short route of low, easy grades and minimum curvature along the courses of 10 great rivers, through the towering splendor of the Rockies and the Cascade Mountains, on to the adventure land of the Pacific Northwest. The Great Northern Railway maintains both passenger and freight representatives in most of the cities from which this program is broadcast. They will be glad to give you details on traveling or shipping via Great Northern. This is Ted Pearson speaking. Empire Builders comes to you each Monday night at this time from the NBC studios in Chicago.
That musical note indicated exactly 10 o'clock Central Standard Time. You are listening to Westinghouse KYW, the Chicago Herald, and Examiner Station.